Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got Rick in here this morning. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And we got Jill still across the other side of the world, right?
Yep, exactly.
So probably next week, hey, she'll join us.
Yep.
Something like that.
Next week, she's Croatia.
Croatia.
I think that's
So do we get her next weekend, or is there another weekend yet?
No, next weekend, I believe.
You think so? Yes. She's just in such a different time zone. It's like the middle of the night there, right?
Exactly.
So that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
It's one thing if when you guys, you know, down in the States somewhere, maybe, or in British Columbia, it's pretty easy to get hooked up and get you on the show. Yeah. It's like, was it minus 8 hours or 8 hours ahead? I always forget that.
It's 8 hours. It's the next day.
It's the next day.
Yeah.
That's right. So, but it's like... Yeah. Anyways, it's a way different time zone. So we're going to let Jill have her vacation.
She'll be that much younger when she returns.
That's right. Exactly. Something like that. Anyways, welcome to the show. 1-877-332-8255. Just before we get to our first call, we're going to just, I'm just going to ask you this. What's going in the garden center right now?
Well, here's look at our window. We look over to, just so people know that the studio, we have big windows right in front of us, and we look over top of the South Saskatchewan River, you know?
In Saskatoon.
In Saskatoon. And the landscape has changed.
For one week.
Yes.
I know last week we were talking about just about this little hint.
There's some ash trees here and there.
Hint, right?
Just here and there. But now you notice that we did have, you know, some frost right across the, in different places across the province, you know. Now it's changed again. It's the frost doesn't look like it's around in most places for a little bit. But I mean, all the coloring that has changed here, the maples colored, the ash really turned color. So yeah, you're seeing the poplars turning color. I mean, I've seen the Virginia creeper all turning red. And this is
just the start, because we will get more colors than this. Like as the next couple of weeks go on, you know, we have a couple of maple trees around the radio station here.
Yep.
They go fire red. So can't wait for that.
It's a great time to, you know, go for a walk or go for a drive in the country, and you'll be able to see a lot of different colors starting to happen.
Oh yeah.
Especially where you had places where the plants didn't have quite as much, you know, irrigation and that, where they're just relying on the rain, you're starting to see a lot of color out in the country.
That's right. You bet. 1-877-332-8255. We'll touch a bit more about what's going on in the garden center in a second, but we won't keep Shelley waiting any longer. She's in Regina. Hi, Shelley. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. What's going on in your yard and garden right now?
Oh, it's actually looking pretty good.
Yeah?
I have a couple of questions. I have a couple of plants that I wonder if I can winter either by wintering them themselves or taking cuttings off of them. Will I be successful?
Okay. Which ones?
One of them is a Collie Mullins hibiscus.
Yep.
And the other one is Corosmas, an evening glow.
Okay. Yeah, the hibiscus, absolutely. You can bring that indoors if you want. And you can take cuttings from it once you bring it inside if you want, or you can just bring it in a plant and just treat it like a house plant. Okay.
Okay. Now with that one though, the leaves are all turning yellow outside now.
Yeah. So now's the time to bring it indoors. And if you want to give it a pruning, now's a great time to give it a pruning. And I would suggest with hibiscus I would remove all the flowers. Even though I love all the flowers on there, it has flowers on it right now, because that's where all the insects are hanging around. Okay.
Right.
And if you bring it inside with all the flowers on, if you put it in a bright, bright window, like, you know, facing south or facing west, you know, where it gets direct sunlight, it'll rebloom again, especially after you prune it. And then because right now you give it a rest, it's gone through a little bit of a dormancy by the leaves turning yellow, but you can put it in a south window or west window. If it's in an east window or north window, it won't do as well. Okay.
Okay.
It has to be a very bright, almost direct sunlight.
Okay. Or grow lights would work on it too?
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
And sorry, what was the other one again now?
It's Corprosma, an evening glow.
Corprosma evening glow. Now, I'm not too sure about that one, about how that one would propagate. Probably what I'm going to do with that one is I'm just going to look that one up, because I'm not sure on the propagation method of that one, but I'll be able to come back to you. If you keep listening, I'll come back to that one. But I believe that one, I'm not going to even guess on that one. I'm going to look that one up, and then I'm going to get back to you on that one.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
So just keep listening, and then after the break, we'll update you on that one.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the information.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Shelley. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. So you can do just like Shelley did. Give us a call. You know, if there's, that's a really good call to start off the show, because that's a big thing of what's happening right now is we're moving plants indoors, right? The ones that we want to save.
Collecting seed. Yep. Right? You know, if you have a lot of those, you know, heritage type of vegetables, even, and you want to collect your own seed, you know, now's the time to get all that done. A lot of even the perennials and that are starting to, you know, get it ready to explode and push their seed out around the place. And so you can gather that, you know, whether it be a poppy or a cosmos and all those kind of things, hollyhocks, you know, those are the kind of things. If you want to control where they kind of spread in your yard, you can kind of, now's the time to get ready to gather all those seeds.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Good to know. So how about in the garden center? What's still going on in the garden center right now?
Well, right now there's a lot of people starting to think about, okay, their fall, right? And they're right now, that's the big talk right now is absolutely the maple bug.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I was at the farm, and we got a lot of native maples this last week, and the buildings around the, they were just red and black. Like it was just, and moving. Like it was just like thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of them. It was just, there were so many. It was just big globs and clumps.
Yeah, they're pretty gross, aren't
and
they?
So, I mean, that was there against, you know, farm buildings and that kind of stuff, you know, who cares, right, type of thing. But you get that. I know that's coming. We're going to be up against my house right away. And so normally, I mean, what do you do with that? Well, go out there this weekend. And first of all, you know, in the fall, you should be going around and sealing up any cracks anyways. You don't want to get any other type of insects in your house or, you know, mice or anything else. So, you know, seal up all the cracks, whether it be where the gas line comes in the house or electrical line comes in the house or where, you know, where the plate touched the foundation. There's lots of places where there's cracks where bugs can get in.
Right. Okay.
And so you can just take your foam or your caulking and, you know, go around and do your fall chores around the yard. And basement windows is a good one example of those. And, making sure your screens are good and those kind of things, right? Other than that, if you want to get rid of them, with one thing about maple bugs, you can even, if you put your jet spray on your sprayer, you can, a lot of times you can kill them, some of them that way, you know, because they die very easily.
They do, actually. You know, for how prolific they are, how many you see, it doesn't really take a lot to get rid of them.
You can use soap and water. You can use Bug X Out. You can use pyrethrins. You can use, you know, Endol. You can use all kinds of different things to get them. For me, I like, because I don't want all those bugs hanging around the yard, I take my shop vac.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I vacuum them all up, because I had experiences before, and I don't know, maybe you told me, I told you this, but I mean, about 3 years ago, we had I've never seen so many on against the side of our house.
Right.
And so what happened is that I killed as many as I could, you know, but there's a lot left over. And then what I did is I did a little renovation. We put on a piece of deck and I took some of the siding off.
Yep.
And all these dead maple bugs were underneath my siding.
Eesh.
And of course we had that was the fall. The next summer, we had so many flies around the house because they were using those as their nesting sites, right?
Oh, gross.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we had just flies, like, where are all the flies coming from? And I figured out where all the flies are coming from, you know? And so now I make sure I get my vacuum cleaner and I vacuum.
Get them right out of there.
I get them out of there. I just don't leave them laying dead all over the place, right?
Right. So, yeah. That makes sense.
So that's how I do it now. But otherwise, like I said, soap and water, anything, blasting cold water, vacuum cleaning, any type of insecticide, anything will work. One thing I do tell people to watch out for, if you're spraying insecticides on, doesn't matter what type it is, on your siding, even if you're using soap and water and those kind of things, go to a spot that's inconspicuous and spray some on your siding to make sure, and let it dry to make sure it doesn't change the color of your siding or anything.
That's
like
right.
It's a stain.
That's
okay?
Right.
Anything you put on there. I like putting mine on the footing and the foundation of the building, and then because it's sort of like the parging part of it. But if you put it on the actual, whether it be hardy board or vinyls, vinyls probably the worst because it absorbs it the most. And then all of a sudden, you go and kind of spray. It kind of looks like up to dry is like a bunch of graffiti on your.
That's right. Yeah.
On your building. So be careful with that. And but otherwise, they're easy to get rid of.
Okay. So there's the 101 on maple bugs.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go to Asquith when we get back and talk to Ruby about some potato issues. We'll get to that and over to the text line as well. Good time to join the show. 1-877-332-8255. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we've got lots of show to go, which is great. Lots of opportunity to get at your calls and texts in. Something that didn't go right this year in your yard that you think, how do I fix that for next year? That's a big question we get this time of year, Rick.
And people ask me especially about moving plants around.
Yes.
Right? And this, my wife moved some plants around. Hope she's not listening. Told her not to do that.
So, okay, we can get into that in a little bit. We got a call we're going to get to, but there are plants you can move and ones you shouldn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just a little bit too warm this week. That's all.
Okay.
It's the right time, but it's just so hot.
Right. Okay. So we'll talk about that.
Time's coming.
We'll talk about that in just a second. Yeah. First, we're going to get to our call. Right now, we're going to Asquith right now to talk to Ruby. Hi, Ruby. How are you?
Hey. Fine. Thank you.
Excellent. What's going on with the potatoes?
Well, some didn't quite get hilled enough, and they're green.
Yep.
So I wonder, can I use those for seed potatoes?
You probably could. It depends how they probably might be okay. The problem is you can't eat them, right?
Oh, no, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, you can't eat them. But you can probably use them as seed potato. They just won't form right, you know. I just don't know if they'll be a healthy plant.
Oh.
Right? That's the problem.
Okay.
I don't think you'll get a great, when you actually use them as seed, you want to use your best seeds.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If you always want to use your best seeds, because whenever you use your less best seeds, it seems like you don't get a great crop.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay. Before we go to the text line, then let's answer this question. What if that's one of the big things that's happening is people are moving, wanting to move plants. We're getting close to the time of that being a possibility.
Yeah.
But what are the exceptions?
And there's not a whole, like, for some reason, I don't like moving even poplars in the fall. I like moving poplars in the spring. It's one you figure is an easy one, you know, but most of the perennials you can, the biggest thing you want to make sure you do is that, you want to wait, you want to do it at the right time where it's not too hot like it was this last week, okay? And but then you want to move them early enough so they get a bit of rooting in, okay?
Right. So that is like, say, this coming up week where we got sort of teen and 20 temperatures.
Yeah. And one thing that I always say that tells me when to move the plants is when they've had a hit of frost.
Okay.
Right, because then all of a sudden you see the leaves sort of drooping and all, you know, getting ready for wintertime. Right, then I'm saying then you can move them. And if you have to move them, like you're building a building or you've sold your house and you want to take some of them with you, then take a clump of dirt with it.
Right.
And you're not going to, and then you're not going to split them at that time. You'll split them another time, you know, the next year when, or in the spring or whatever. But take a clump of dirt with them if you have to move them so that it doesn't, it's almost like as if they, you know, they haven't really moved, right? You're taking a bunch of root with it, with dirt on it. But otherwise, if you want to split them, do it when it's had a couple of good frosts on it, you know, when the leaves are showing colors of they're done, you know, for this year on the perennials. And or otherwise, just move them first thing in the spring. Mark them where they are, because you can see the leaves where they are right now.
Yep.
So mark them. We do a lot of marking in our yard. And then when we want to move them, then we can move them. Because a lot of our perennials, we planted quite a lot, you know. And then now some of the shrubs grew, some of the perennials grew, everything else. And now we're saying, okay, well, we need to move some of these things, you know.
Yeah.
So we had some perennial geraniums that just went mad this year. They just covered everything. So, we cut them back and we moved them to different location where they can have lots of room to grow.
Very cool. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to the text line. Irene is in Nipawin. Good morning. Can Mandevilla or, and I'm going to say this wrong, Diplodenia, be kept over winter?
Yes.
The pot and trellis are too big to bring in, but they're so pretty. I'd like to be able to save them somehow. What can she do?
They're not going to survive in the pot.
No.
Okay, not at all. So what you can do is you can dig them out of the pot, Okay.
Okay.
And then you can store them, you know, in another smaller pot, like take some parts of it and put it in another smaller pot. Or you can do, yeah, that pot is too big. You can dig it out of that, take that ball of earth out of the ground, and you're not going to be able to put it. It's not going to survive by putting it into the ground and mulching it. It has to be put into a garage,
right? Yep.
Where it stays, you know, at, you know, just about 0 or -5 the most. Okay. But otherwise, yeah, unless you can bring that pot indoors, surviving in the pot or planting it into the ground on those two plants is not going to make it.
Mm, okay. So that's the only way then.
Yep.
Is digging it up, repot it into something smaller so you can bring it in.
Yep.
Does it go dormant at that point?
What I would do is I'd let it go a bit dormant.
Okay.
Okay. But not freezing hard. You know, some little light frosts on them.
Okay.
You know, if it's going to freeze really hard, put a blanket over it or something like that. And then let it go a bit dormant, and then you can bring it inside because now it's ready to go. But most like people, like especially Mandevilla, they'll treat it like a houseplant.
So you'll let it go dormant for a second, repot it into something smaller, then again, bring it in, and we'll regrow it now back to green?
Yes, you can regrow it back to green if you want indoors.
I'm just thinking, we're not keeping it.
Or you can put it in, if you have that type of heated garage, you can just put it in a corner of the garage.
Mm,
right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you got a window in your garage or something like that, yeah, it'll be fine. And only give moisture maybe once a month type of thing.
Is it a plant that we're keeping dormant for the winter though, or do
you can, or you treat it like a houseplant
and just get it green again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm following now. Okay. So Irene, hope that helps you out. I know it's a bit complicated, but that's the only way to save those, right?
Yeah,
it's here in our climate.
Yeah, in our climate, most people, like I said, if they want to keep them, they put them inside and put them in a cool place and just let them kind of survive.
Hey, 2 minutes to go till our break, so let's go to this text. Tina is in Zenon Park. Says, garden talk question. We've got northwest poplar trees that I started from cuttings 3 years ago.
Yep.
At the time, we were unsure where we were putting them, so we just put them on the edge of the garden.
Yep.
They got pretty large. They were very crowded. We know they should have been transplanted sooner, but we just never got to it.
Yep.
About a month ago, we bit the bullet, moved them into their new home. About a month ago,
yep.
Most of the soil came off of the roots at the time of planting.
Yep.
We have been watering them every 5 to 7 days. Leaves all dried up and died right after planting. Will this tree still be viable next spring? When should we stop watering them this fall?
Yeah, most likely.
I think we have some bad news for you, Tina, unfortunately.
You can check the buds. The buds are there, and sometimes they'll go into like emergency mode. Right.
Okay.
And you'll see a lot of poplar trees will do that, but they have the roots out, you know, in the ground already. Mm-hmm. And they go into emerging mode in August. You'll see anytime in August, you'll see them drop leaves. I drive by on Highway 11, a set of poplars that do that every year for some reason. They just got no irrigation and they just go into hibernation early.
Right.
Drop all the, but they come back every year. Now, what you can do is take your fingernail and scrape the bark.
Yes.
Right. And so you go just underneath the bark, and if you still see green, they'll be okay. If they're brown underneath, they're done. And unfortunately, the
timing was not ideal.
No.
And they went bare root. Like, if you're going to move a tree in the middle of summer, you really want a tree spade so you can take all the soil with it, right?
Yeah. Those kind of things, you either move them in the fall once the leaves turn color, or the best time for poplar, honestly, from all my years of growing in the fields, is I do my harvesting of poplars in the spring.
Right.
And transplant them then.
It's really hard on trees to move them in the hot.
Just because
heat
they have
summer.
Such, poplars have such a stick root system. They don't have a huge, nice, fibrous root system. That's the problem.
Poplars are never good at transplanting very well, anyways.
If they had a fibrous root system, they can move anytime, but sticks.
So, Tina, check the bark. And after that, you might want to just
take some more cuttings next spring.
You can do that.
And start again.
If there is, or take a trip to your local garden center might be the thing.
But I mean, started all from cuttings. She's hardwood cuttings. Take them in March, put them in the fridge, right? And then plant them out in the spring again.
So we're taking our break right now. Then news update, and we're back with more after this. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday here with us. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We'll have Jill back in the studio with us, I think, next weekend, which is going to be good. We're seeing fall colors now, which are just popping up. We don't have the reds just yet. That takes a couple more weeks, right?
Yep.
But, you know, and it's that magical time, though, if you can get it right and the wind doesn't go too crazy or the leaves hang on the trees. It's when we get the big wind that it rips it all down, you know?
Now, one other thing that people were talking about lots is that, okay, my garden had so many weeds in it and that kind of stuff. What do I do?
That's been a topic this summer for sure. Yeah.
It's been quite a topic. So now is the time to be thinking about, okay, well, if I'm cleaning up my garden right now, you know, maybe I've gotten rid of a lot of the top crops, you know, that have, you know, my beans and peas and that kind of stuff are all picked, you know, picking my corn now if it's finished. You know, I just have potatoes and carrots left. And we have a bunch of dill. My wife went wild with the dill. She just kind of spread it through the garden. It's everywhere.
Oh, I love dill.
And so, so we have, you know, those kind of things. But if you had lots of problem with weeds, now's the time to start thinking about maybe doing a zero till.
Right.
Okay. That's where you just don't work up your garden and just put mulch down. And now you can just move your mulch aside in the spring. And then you can just plant your rows in the mulch. Way less weeds. Use less moisture, right? You do a lot of different things that basically just, you can go on to, there's lots of ways people do it. You can go online and look up zero-till gardening, right?
Yes, that's right.
And that's one way that people said that lots of chickweed, lots of portulaca, lots of other, just go to the zero-till and then you'll have a lot less of that if you've had a problem.
Now, what's really neat too, is that depending on where you are in the province, there are ways of getting your hands on a big amount of mulch for a very, sometimes low cost or nothing.
Well, yeah, right? like because a lot of the towns and the cities right now, they have compost depots where you can go there for as long as you come with your garbage cans or buckets in the back of your trunk of your car or the back of your truck or whatever
your truck.
Got, whatever, you can shovel it into that for free.
Yeah, that's the compost for sure.
Yeah, for the compost.
But then even the mulch, I know there's places like around Saskatoon or Regina that, you know, they're keeping the mulch out, they're keeping it clean mulch where they're putting the trees that they're, you know, pruning and what it gets dropped off through the mulch or the chipper.
That's the same place you get your compost at depots. You can get mulch there too.
Yeah. And so if you want to do a big zero till mulch garden, you can get that stuff. And I think a lot of places it's free.
It's free. Like
it's no cost.
Yeah. At the city ones, it's usually free.
So, because actually it repurposes that. That's a great program because it repurposes, you know, that biological material that otherwise kind of goes to waste.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we prune the trees to keep the place looking good. And then we reuse those products, that product, to keep the weeds down in your garden.
Yeah. Or on the shrub beds and everything else. Right.
Exactly. So. Well, think how well it works in your shrub bed. Cause how many people have shrub beds that we put mulch in nice and thick? Yep. There's no weeds.
Yep.
It's the same idea, just in the garden.
Nice in special shrub beds, 3 inches thick, right? Except for not up against the plant trunks themselves. You want to go down to about a half an inch to an inch against the trunks. But as soon as you come away from the trunks, go up to 3 inches.
Exactly.
And no fabric or anything underneath them.
And that's the point, too, is that when you put that mulch in the garden, you know, let's say that this is next spring.
Yep.
Somebody does that mulch. You probably get 2-3 seasons out of that mulch,
at least,
right? Yep. But as time goes on, the very bottom of that's made contact.
Soil is beautiful.
Exactly. It's made contact with the soil.
Beautiful.
And it's starting to rot and turn into compost.
It's beautiful. And all those micronutrients that were working in there and it's just amazing how it breaks down and creates food for the, you see all the roots that grow up into that from all your plants.
Exactly.
And they just thrive.
And then in that next four or five years, then you top off that mulch and it just rejuvenates the soil underneath. Yep. So it's a really good way to go.
Yep.
Really good way. Let's go to the phone lines and we'll get back to the text in just a moment. 1-877-332-8255. Here is Ron, who's in Lestock. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hi. Good.
Excellent.
I had a pepper bed and a volunteer garlic grew up in it.
Yep.
And then to put out the garlic scypes on top. Now, I just picked that off September 8th. Would a person be able to plant those this fall yet, or will they not grow this fall?
You might be able to. Yeah, you should be able to plant them this fall.
Okay.
Yep, you should be able to plant them this fall. Should be not a problem.
What are they like? Really rich dirt there?
Just well drained soil. Just well-drained soil. That's the big one, is that you don't want them to get really soaking wet. I mean, notice for my garden, we had a good rain last night, and it's just wet, right?
Oh.
And I have lots of heavy clay underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't like that as much, okay? As long as they like more drained soil. They do, bulb type of plants do way better in drained soil.
So the sluids that dried up, don't put them there.
Yeah, don't put them there. Exactly.
Very good, yeah.
But great time to plant your garlics right now. I mean, all the garden centers even have their garlic bulbs. You can plant them. Now's the time to plant garlic. If you want early garlic next year,
mm-hmm.
Now's the time to plant your garlic, absolutely.
Oh, super. Thanks.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the call, Ron. Take care. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, over to the phone, the text line, sorry. This is Corinna near Pike Lake.
Just one thing. Make sure that you mark where you put those garlics, okay? Because you don't want to go and start planting other garden plants way over top of where the garlic was last year.
Okay. Well, that's what Corinna actually in Pike Lake wants to know is best practices for fall planting garlic bulbs.
Yeah.
So
just make sure well-drained soil, put them in the, not in a spot where the water all runs to in your garden, mm-hmm. let's say.
Yep.
You don't want to do that. More put it on the high side and then mark them so that you don't rototill them up in the spring
right.
or plant a potato right on top of them, whatever.
Okay. Second part of Corinna's text is, when do you harvest Jerusalem artichokes?
Artichokes, you should be getting close to usually what you have, because our season's so short, right? So a lot of times you have to put the crop covers to finish them off and that. So basically it'll be any time now because what are we now? What's the date today?
It's the 14th.
14th.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of September. So we're getting that time right now. Mm-hmm. Any time now is going to be where we could risk a frost are going to be pretty big.
Okay. Yep. All right. Scott is in Silton. Good morning. Our peaches and cream corn came up great this year and last year. We had lots of good sized cobs that looked very good. However, they tasted woody, not very good. Same thing last year. We used the same varieties both years. What could cause woody corn?
Woody corn. One thing that corn needs is a lot of nutrients. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of compost, a lot of, even manures, that kind of stuff, those kind of compost, they need a lot of nutrients to help get the taste and everything else. Okay.
Okay.
And also those compost will help keep moisture there. So they aren't going dry and wet and dry and wet and all that kind of stuff. And so consistent moisture, but also they're heavy, heavy feeders. Corn. Okay, so you have to make sure the nutrients is there, and using the vegetable fertilizers. If you're not using organic, type of compost, and that mm-hmm. using the vegetable fertilizer because it has all the magnesiums and borons and everything else that's going to give it this taste. Not just an NPK, not just nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You need a lot of the other micros nutrients in your soil. I mean, I worked in Chilliwack a long time ago. I mean, the farmers around there that planted corn, like they planted a lot of corn.
Yep.
They put wax of chicken manure.
Right.
And manure on their fields. They were the trucks with the manure spreaders were going crazy on those fields.
Right. Okay.
Okay. You should have seen the crops. They were just massive.
So for Scott, planting the garden next year. So I mean, we're at the end of the season now.
Yep.
We're planting the garden next year. We know that we want lower amounts of, say, compost or that.
For potatoes.
For potatoes.
Yes.
And then you want the opposite.
For your top corn. Crops. For your top crops. Your
so it's really
peas.
Important to then map out your garden.
Yep.
And then, add in where you need it.
With the nutrients where you need it.
Where you need it. Right.
Yes.
So for Scott, basically next year, what our fix is get lots of more compost in there and manure.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then number two, supplement with,
like a
vegetable fertilizer
or an organic vegetable fertilizer.
Right.
Absolutely.
You can add that in that area, right? To those plants specifically.
And
that should bring the taste back in that corn.
Yep. And then you'll get, hopefully we get enough sunlight, everything else, and then your corn will just fill up really nice.
And he said that it grew great.
Like
size of the cobs were good, no problems.
Yep.
Just didn't taste very good. So, yeah.
Yep.
So you're doing it all right. Add those two things and that'll probably be the trick, right?
Yep.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. We got a break and it's over the text line. We got hour two coming up as well. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Happy Sunday morning. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We had a lot of fog actually this morning in our area around Saskatoon waking up. Not sure what it was like around the rest of the province, but it looks like it's starting to clear off now. Yep. They're telling us sunny skies.
Yeah. Just be careful.
Later today.
You will get a lot of fog in the mornings this time of the year. Mm. So just be mm-hmm. careful. I know this last week we had some pretty serious accidents because of the fog.
Yeah.
And so just making sure that you got your full lights on when you're driving as well. So people can see your tail lights, right? Cause your running lights don't, during the daytime, your tail lights don't come on.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So just making sure that that you're being careful and slowing down a bit, and you're going to get mornings where there's going to be fog. So,
although we got a really nice week coming up. Like, I'm looking at the forecast here. Now, there's sort of some shower activity today, tonight, tomorrow in Saskatoon, and less so in Regina. But then we're talking like highs around 22, 24 degrees and mostly sunny with lows that are only 7, 8 degrees, which is pretty good for this time of year.
They've been forecasting September, October is above normal.
Like for us, like they're calling for 25 on Wednesday and sunny. Yep. That's beautiful. Yep. Good. The more we get of this, the less we get of the other stuff. I'm not even going to say what that other stuff is because you...
That's why I like leaving my...
Out of the words.
I like leaving my carrots and my potatoes in the ground as long as I can.
Yeah.
In fact, we used to put a tarp in the garden so we can keep them out there even longer. And that way there's so much difference when you take a fresh potato, fresh carrot out of the garden. Now, I want to go back to one caller that we had, the Comproza, right? She had a plant that she wanted to know about bringing it in, right? So it's a house plant. It's basically like a zone 9 plant. And so just like your mandevilla she had. And so that plant there, basically the only, you can't divide it. Okay. It's not one you can, if it's a big plant now, you can't divide it. The best way to bring it in is trim it right back if you want and bring it back as the whole plant into the thing. So you may have to, if you have a bunch of plants in your pot, you may be able to dig that plant out and put it into another pot. But you got to take some chunk of root with it, with the dirt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Put another pot and then you can trim it back, put it in the house in a nice bright, bright location. Okay. It loves lots of even direct sunlight. And then you can, if you want, once it starts growing again, you can take some cuttings off it and use some stem root, rooting hormone on it, and you can plant them into some other pots. Okay. But you can't, it doesn't divide. But you can bring it in and treat it like a house plant.
Okay, so there you go.
Basically, that's what you're going
to
do.
We wanted to answer that question we had from before. Yep. Okay, let's go to the text line. Rose is in Saskatoon. I love when we get people who have the perfect name to call or text a garden show. Rose, Violet, things like that. It's perfect. Rose says, planted a Cupid cherry tree. Yep. Newly planted this spring from Dutch growers in a gallon container. It's growing straight up approximately 4 feet tall.
Yes.
Should I cut it down some before the winter and how to protect it for the winter?
Yeah, you can trim it down, but do it after the leaves have I like waiting until the leaves start turning color.
Okay.
Okay. And what I would suggest, if you want to leave it in the pot, bury the pot and all into the ground.
Yeah, it's not clear if this is planted already or if it's just in its container still.
It sounded like it was in a pot, she said there, right?
Yes, that's right.
So she said it was in a pot. So plant the pot, container all into the ground.
If you leave it above ground, Rose,
it won't make it.
It's just going to freeze to death.
Yeah, it won't make it at all.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so plant it, pot and all into the garden, into shrub bed, whatever, and then you can bring it, even throw a little bit of mulch around it.
Right.
And then you can, which is best to put some mulch around it, and then next spring you can lift it out and then transplant it to where you want to plant it. Mm-hmm. And you can trim it back. Cut it back a third.
About a third.
Yep.
Okay.
And it'll bush out.
Yeah. Just make sure you get it in the ground before the freeze-up.
But do that pruning, not when it's green, because my sour cherries around the yard are still pretty green. And so wait until they get a bit of color to the leaves, and then you can trim them and plant them in the ground.
Perfect. Hey, we got another one here in the next text line. Fern is the next text. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. That's great. Keep those names coming. I love it. Fern says, good morning. Love your show. I have my Sunday morning coffee listening to your show. Oh, that's great, Fern. Thank you. A lot of my tomatoes are still green. Should I leave them outside as long as possible or should I pick them while they're green? That's a good question, actually.
You could do either or.
Okay.
I like leaving mine out there as long as I can, but you just watch the frost, right?
Because
if you want them to green up quicker, then what you do is you put a frost blanket over for the nighttime temperatures, right? Because some nighttime temperatures are still going to go down to the 5 or 4 degrees, and so if you can keep that temperature warmer around the plant at nighttime, and then
they'll ripen on the vine.
Especially because you said, what was the temperatures you were saying is going to be?
The lowest we saw this coming up week is about 7.
7, right? Yeah. But highs of 25.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can still have some ripening. What you may have to do is you might have to prune. I know I have some of mine are not ripening, and some of them didn't even produce much, huge plant, but didn't produce many flowers. Mm-hmm. And so what you may have to do right now is you might have to do some pruning. Okay.
Like the leaves.
The leaves, so that the sunlight can kind of get a little bit of sunlight onto the tomatoes.
Okay.
Right?
So basically,
for them to ripen.
The other way to go is you pick them all now green, and if you've got a cold storage, then you can prolong your crop, can't you?
Put them out on a piece of paper,
right,
if they're all green, and don't have touching each other.
Okay.
Okay? Don't throw them in a big pail and just let them try to ripen a pail because they'll rot. Okay.
But what if you don't want them to quite ripen so quickly? Can you keep them in a cold storage green for a little while?
Not as long. You're better off to ripen them and then preserve them.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You're better off to ripen them than preserve them.
So it's putting it on paper, not touching, in light again.
Light again,
Yeah, sunlight.
And then do your canning or whatever you're going to do with them to preserve them that way.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's better on the vine.
Better on the vine, especially if the temperature is 25 degrees. Just watch those nighttime temperatures. Throw a little protection so it keeps them warm. Put some 2-liter water bottles out there, you know, that are in the sun, and then they release heat in nighttime even. Those kind of things help, right?
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Brenda's in Saskatoon. We've got 1 minute here. I have a Brazilian jasmine, which is doing well outside. Is it a perennial? It's in a pot against the house with a trellis. Can I bring it inside for the winter? If so, how do
jasmines
I care for it?
You have to bring inside for the wintertime.
Okay.
Okay. Treat it like a house plant and it'll be fine.
So basically cut it down off the trellis.
Yep.
Bring it in. It's probably gotten some frost now.
Yes.
And then kind of revive it as a houseplant.
Yeah.
Right?
Trim it back and then bring it inside. Put it in a pot.
Don't forget when you're bringing stuff inside, you know, spraying off for bugs.
Debug them.
You know.
Debug them. They will have bugs on them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we got to go to our break. Hope that helps you out, Brenda. Lots of text to go still with hour number two coming up. And when we get back, we'll start our second hour with Dawn's call about some bugs going on and an infestation she's got. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to hour number two of Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We'll get Jill back in here with us next weekend, hopefully. She's across the other side of the planet right now. We're going to go to the text line in a second and check out what's going on there. Lots of text to answer. We'll get them answered as quick as we can. But first off, we're going to the phone lines. Got to thank Dawn for the patience there. Dawn's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good morning. I wish I was where Jill was.
Yeah. We all do, don't we? Yes. Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, here's my problem here.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of this new beetle. I had Poulin's come and spray. I live in a condo, and he identified it's a black beetle with an orange belly, and he sprayed, and he identified it as a western plant bug. And when he sprayed, my whole deck, I have a large deck, was black with these little beetles. And they come in through the screens, like through my door.
Mm, okay.
They crawl all around the ceilings, the furniture. They're gross because I can't keep them out of my house.
Yeah.
I guess the question for me is, since he said it's new here, I don't know, have you heard of it, Rick?
That bug's been around for a while. You'll see that bug even on Saskatoons out in the country a lot. You'll see them on even sometimes on ash trees. You'll see them on different things. It looks similar to a lot of different bugs, but I mean, there's lots of new variations of that bug out. But I mean, this bug here,
orange belly. It's got an orange belly.
Well, the western plant bug I've seen. If you look at, I don't normally remember seeing it being an orange belly, but it might be just a, you know, if it's new, it might be just an offspring of, you know, of the bug, you know, just changing. You know what I'm saying? But
I've been collecting them for the last, say, since July.
Yeah.
I actually collect them. When they get in my house, I have some white vinegar with a little Dawn dish soap and pick them up with a spoon and put them in containers because I don't like them in my house.
Yeah. Well, the best thing to do is to spray your parging, like the foundation of the house, right? Because they crawl. Yeah. They crawl, obviously. Yeah. And they also fly, but I mean, they'll crawl first of all on the ground. Is this spray with a spider band or, you know, a pyrethrin of some sort? A concentrated pyrethrin along the foundation of the house, and that'll stop a lot of the crawling insects from crawling into your house.
So, is this going to be here from now on, do you think?
Most likely.
But things go in cycles.
Bugs always do go in cycles, just like our tent calipers do, just like our cankerworms do. Your bugs will go in cycles, and then what'll happen is that bug will go in cycles. Then all of a sudden, if a predator will come out, you know, and then be able to take care of that. Now, one plant that have you noticed what plants that this one's been hanging around in your yard at all?
Well, I live on the second floor of a three level condo.
Yep.
But what big surrounded by trees.
Yeah, so whatever big trees around there. So what you may want to do is that, you know, release some praying mantis in the spring, right? Or actually early summer.
Oh.
Right? And the praying mantis, they won't survive our winters here, but in the summertime, they go up into the tree, and then they're just bug eaters. Right?
Praying mantis. Yeah. How do you get a praying mantis?
You have insect sacks that you can buy at your garden centers, okay? Or you can order them, you know, online or whatever. And then you hang on to them until we're warm enough, which is usually the first week of June. And then you release, then you hatch the hatchlings, okay? Because you keep them in your fridge until then. And then, because you have to get them usually in April, May, that's when they're bringing them in. And then you release them in July, in basically June, and they go and they crawl up the tree and they just feed on all different insects.
Well, and then, are they creepy looking too?
Well, they're like a praying mantis. Looks like those, you don't even see them. Like they look like a stick plant, right? They're like a stick plant. Stick insect, look like a stick.
Well, if you're not a fan of bugs, it's still another bug.
But praying mantis is not going to crawl into your house.
That's right.
Okay?
Okay.
And then it eats other bugs.
Yeah, okay. Well, that gives me some hope.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, but anyway, a tip for anybody else who's out there with these insects is the dish soap in the white vinegar is a really good way to pick them up, you know, not squish these orange beetles. And
just make sure that you're not using too much of that white vinegar right on your plants, okay?
If you go too concentrated
the white vinegar, a little bit's fine, but if you go too concentrated on the white vinegar, you'll burn your leaf, right?
Oh, so I can spray my, I haven't sprayed my indoor plants with the vinegar, but
just be very careful because you don't want to burn your leaves, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Really
well, good. Thanks for the call, Don. Take care.
Okay.
Bye bye. 1-877-332-8255. An interesting call, that one. Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. Right now, actually, zipping out to Tisdale to talk to Janice. Hi, Janice. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Very good. Thanks. Yeah. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I did a shade garden, and I did Hugelkerr or core gardening. I don't know how you spell Hugelkerr, H-U-G-E-L something. And I have a bunch of perennials in it.
Yep.
And I want the core method didn't really work. It reduced in size, and I need to add compost to my perennials in there, and I don't know how to do it.
So, okay, so the idea behind this is like a raised garden bed, right?
Yeah,
but
well,
it's
you cover the ground with wood and different materials, and then you add the soil on top, and it's a huge mound.
Yep, it's just a big mound.
Yeah.
Yep. And the problem with the perennials in a big mound like that, unless you get a good snow cover on the mound and the snow doesn't blow off in the wintertime, you'll lose a lot of those plants.
Right.
Okay. That's the problem, because perennials need snow cover in our country, in Saskatchewan.
Right.
It's huge, even just an inch. But a mound, if it's a mound and if it's steep enough, the snow will just blow off of it, right?
Right.
So,
well, it's in a spot in between trees, so it does catch the snow. But I'm just concerned about the perennials that are there and how to mulch them now, because I don't seem to have much soil anymore. The wooden stuff decomposed.
Yep. Yeah, so what you can do is you can add compost in amongst the plants, in between the plants, and you can do that. The best time to do that would be in the spring. You know, once you cut all your, or in the fall when you cut all your perennials back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're going to be putting little bits at a time in between, but you just keep adding, you know, in between the plants.
Okay, so not up to the stems plant.
Unless anything you put over the stems for the wintertime, you got to pull off of them in the spring, okay?
Okay.
If you want to use that for protection. But just work it around the plants and just adding some compost around the plants, and then your perennials just grow into that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And you're not going to be adding 3 inches or anything to that with that type of thing you have, right?
Right.
But you're going to be adding little bits at a time.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for the great call. Take care, Janice.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Let's move over to the text line right now. Not sure who this is from, but if you ever do tell, oh, it's Karen in Saskatoon. It looks like we got Karen for the previous text. So Karen says, Tartarian maples.
Yes.
We have a row of 5-year-old Tartarian maples. The leaves are full of tiny black spots. What would cause this? And their leaves are kind of changing color, but they're not really drying up.
Yeah. Yeah, the black spots in that is, on the Tartarians are just a fungal. Mm. And it's, you know what, it's, you can spray them, but, you know, I find just cleaning up the leaves in the fall, you know, when picking up the leaves and then getting rid of them, don't put them in your compost, is probably the best way to do that. And they can do it. It all depends on the weather and everything else, especially if you get a lot of, you know, rainy years and that, mm-hmm. you will get that black spot. But otherwise, it won't really hurt the plant. But clean up all your leaves really well. And don't leave them laying around where they can go back up into the tree the next year. That's the biggest one.
Okay. All right. 1-877-332-8255. This is from Bob, who's in Saskatoon. Bob says, I've rebuilt the wife's raised garden bed and have to add some more topsoil to it now. It's at this moment, you know, about 80% full with the original topsoil we've had in it for about 25 years.
Yep.
City of Saskatoon's got compost soil available. Is this compost soil good to mix into my original topsoil for a garden?
Absolutely.
Or should I get topsoil from a landscaper?
No, you could use that one if you want to go get that composted soil from the
city. Of Saskatoon, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I guess the only trick, is it going to come with a bunch of weed seeds in it, Rick?
There's no, if anybody tells you they have topsoil or any kind of soil with no weed seeds in it, then the soil is not worth anything.
Okay. All okay? right. That was my question.
Then they've sterilized all the nutrients and everything else out of it because you cannot, there's no such thing as a weed.
Okay. Yeah.
There's quack grass free and all that kind of stuff, you know, so you don't have that in it, but just regular weeds, no such thing.
No such thing. Okay. So in this case, yeah, get the topsoil from the city. That's all composted down.
Yep. It'd
be great to mix with what you've got in there.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break, back to the text line, and Jonathan's call when we get back as well. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We'll have Jill with us in the studio next week, hopefully. Let's go to the text line in just a moment. But we got about 3/4 of an hour left to go, 3 segments here. So still some time to get some calls and that stuff in. Dave will be coming up right away, but first we're going to talk to Jonathan. Morning, Jonathan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Now I've recognized the name of where you're calling from, but I have no idea how to pronounce it. Can you say it for us?
Tagaski.
So where is that close to?
Deep in Baker Lake.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. I know I've seen it on signs. I just can't remember where. And I was like, I have no idea. I'm not going to make a fool of myself saying that name wrong.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky.
No kidding.
What part of Deep Baker Lake are you close to?
At the end of the dam by like Greenland irrigation.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we know where that is. Yep. Perfect.
Right at the east end.
Yep.
So you got a wedding coming up?
Yes, and I was a little worried about mosquitoes still at night, and I have access to a fogger. I was wondering about using Pounce insecticide. It'd be like more of a farm chemical, and it'd have permethrin in it.
Yep.
Is that what you'd use for mosquitoes,
yep.
or is there another one I should be
nope.
using?
Pyrethrum is probably one of your safer ones to use.
Okay.
Just you go by the directions again, right? And if you still have flowers in that, you know, from your in your flower garden and that kind of stuff, because you may have planted a bunch of flowers, you know, for the wedding, right?
Yes.
If you spray the flowers directly, you could get little black spots on your flowers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
By spraying the flowers, if you put it on leafy plants, it's not a problem. Okay.
Okay.
So just watch for that, because your mother or mother-in-law, if you spray all the flowers, they might not, if they didn't turn, the, if they all start turning black or something like that afterwards, they might not like you.
No, they might not.
otherwise, just get some mosquito barrier, which is pure garlic. Works
okay.
awesome. Works awesome.
Yeah.
I use it for my son's wedding, and it worked awesome.
Yeah. And that one.
And
You're just a hose and sprayer, right, Rick?
Yep, just spray it around the yard, on the plants, the lawn, everything. Do that in the morning or the night before or whatever, and it'll repel them away unless there's a big wind that blows a bunch in.
Okay, and that was called mosquito barrier.
Mosquito barrier is pure garlic.
So you know,
pure garlic. Okay.
If you did both of these things,
yep,
you probably are looking at a pretty mosquito-free.
Yep.
Zone,
yep.
You know, at least for that night, yep. You know?
Yeah, use your pellets around places where there's no flowers and that kind of stuff, and the grass and those kind of, you know, and on the grass. But make sure if you got cats around, you don't want cats around when you're spraying pyrethrin, the pellets around, okay? That's the only thing you want to be careful about.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the mosquito barrier, take care of the places a little more delicate.
And you can spray them into your junipers and your shrubs and your grass and everything else. And you smell like a Greek restaurant for a couple hours, and then it dissipates, and then it keeps the mosquitoes at bay.
Okay, that sounds good. So the permethrin can go in a fogger. It'd be a liquid?
Yeah, you need to mask up, okay? You need to use your proper, you know, if you're being on a farm and that, you need to use your proper all types of, you know, protect yourself equipment.
Okay, that sounds good. And they would likely be in the taller grass and the shrubs, not as much as on like the watered lawn where it's short. Is that right?
Well, the mosquitoes would be everywhere, right?
Everywhere, okay. Yeah.
But where the moisture is, they hide in the, like mine hide in the taller shrubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the taller shrubs, some of my trees they were hiding in, my lindens these hide in, they were hiding in my junipers, they were hiding all those kind of places.
Well, that sounds good. And you did say permethrin would be one of the safer chemical options. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you for your help.
Have a great wedding. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, one thing about permethrin is it's a contact, okay? So you have a bit of residual, but for the mosquitoes, it's going to be a contact. That's why I like using the mosquito barrier, because it sticks around and will repel them for quite a while.
Right. Okay? The other one is you're actually fogging.
You're fogging to kill the mosquitoes.
Find in the air.
But
yes.
Whatever comes out of hatches and comes up, it's going to come back again.
Right. And they have cycles, daily cycles.
Yes.
Right? Okay. That's the problem with mosquitoes, too.
Yep.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to go to Kipling right now. Dave's on the line. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Good morning. I hope Garden Talk's doing better than the Riders did last night.
Yeah, no doubt, eh?
Holy mackerel. Anyways, quick question for you. I've got some 4.5 to 5 foot white spruce. They've been dug up out of a nursery, put in a bag, and just wondering what my best procedure for that is going to be to get them to stay with me for a few years.
Plant them.
Well, yes, I want to do that, but I just wonder, you know, like what, how would you do it with, like how much bigger than what the root bag is and how deep and that type of thing?
Twice as, you don't go that much deeper, maybe 3 inches deeper or so, 2 inches deeper, but twice as wide as your bag.
Twice as wide, okay. Yeah,
and then get rid of any clay soil and put some good topsoil in with them.
Okay, and what about watering for the next little bit?
Just when you first plant them, give them a good watering.
Yes.
Okay, and then just after that, depending what the fall's like, just keep them moist but not wet, okay? And then once you get to the middle of October, middle to the third week of October, give them one good soak so that you're literally going to freeze them into the ground.
Okay.
And then also, if you can, are you putting them in a shelter belt, like a row?
Yes, but I've only got like half a dozen, so they're going to be spaced very well.
So make sure there's some kind of a little snow fence up or something like that if you're on acreage or something like that, so they get covered with snow.
Okay.
Okay.
How about covering them, like with burlap or whatever?
Well, you can do that too. It's keeping the sun off of them, right? Sure. Especially in March and April.
Okay,
that's the key.
And it's not like a forever thing, but when they're young, that's important.
Yeah, if you want, you go only 6 or 7 of them, yeah, just put a couple stakes around them, put the burlap around, leave the top open so the snow can fall in around them, and just keeping the sun off of them, then they'll do way better.
Another quick question, if I could.
Yep.
Fall fertilizer.
Yes.
Can you do it as late as the middle of October?
You can, but it's pretty late to do it by then because you're not really feeding the roots. By that time, your little ground's going to be close to freezing.
Okay.
It's better if you can do it now. I mean, if you put it on then, as long as you, because the problem is if it's some of the nitrogen, which are quick release nitrogens, if it's not going to get any rain or anything to water it in, it's going to just evaporate into the sky. But otherwise, if you can water it in, but most times by that time you have the water shut right off, right?
Yes.
And then what's going to happen is that nitrogen is going to evaporate into the air. But if it can't get into the ground, it'll be there for next year.
worth putting anything on with potash or phosphorus, or just N?
No. Actually, in the fall, I like using less N and a little bit more potassium and phosphorus in that. I don't like putting a ton. If you look at that Groundskeeper fertilizer, I like using that one the best because it's only 16 nitrogen, but it has phosphorus, and it also has sulfur in it. Okay.
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 Perfect.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great one.
Yep. Bye for now.
1-877-332-8255. News update time. We'll get back with Derek's call in Martinsville about planting new trees, and then it's lightning round after that. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Well, half an hour to go. We got the lightning round coming up right away. We'll get to the text line in a second. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we'll have Jill back with us next weekend. Hope you're having a good Sunday morning. I'm starting to see, we started off real foggy this morning, Rick, and there's just hints of blue sky now. We were told sunny afternoon.
Well, I need the sun for those tomatoes to ripen. I need the farmers to get the crops off the fields.
I need the sun just so their lawn dries out so I can cut the lawn this afternoon. Yeah.
This weather pattern came all the way up from Los Angeles.
Really?
That's where, if you just look at the... Traced it all the way up. It comes all the way up from Los Angeles area. Wow. So we're off the Pacific Ocean.
Okay. Well, let's hope we see some sunshine. It's supposed to be a pretty nice week coming up. Yeah. Let's go to Martinsville right now outside of Saskatoon and talk to Derek. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Hey, good.
Awesome. What's the question for us?
I've got a line of poplar trees, about a dozen of them lining my fence. They're all currently dying. I'd say probably about half dead. If they're maybe 40-foot tall trees, they're dying downwards. I believe it's a poplar borer beetle.
Yep.
Yeah, I think all the symptoms point that direction.
Yep.
So my question, my plan is to cut them off about halfway, just because they'll look a little better as they continue to die. But my question is, can I plant something in between them? What would be great is another poplar, just so it could grow quickly and I could have that shelter again from wind and shade. But I assume if I plant poplars, this beetle's just going to hop over to those new ones.
Yep.
I have about 3 to 4 foot space in between each of those dying trees.
Yep.
That I could plant something there if that's enough space. What's your suggestion on something that'll last longer or at least try a
Parkland pillar birch?
A what, sorry?
Parkland pillar birch.
Okay.
So they're narrow like those poplars narrow. You've got.
Don't grow not quite as fast, but they grow pretty quick. Okay. And you still have to keep them healthy. Whatever you have, you have to remember that you still have to water and fertilize them for the rest of those plants' lives. Okay?
Right.
If you just leave them on their own, those big poplar trees, when they're, 30, 40 feet tall, and they're not getting moisture, especially through a drought time, and if you're just watering your grass, right, and not fertilizing, watering the plant, then they get stressed and the bug comes after them.
Right.
And that's with any of those trees that grow fast. Okay?
Okay.
Because they're more susceptible. Right? But the birch has, you still can get a birch borer, but that's the last one to go after as long as you keep them healthy. I've only seen a Parkland pillar birch or Dakota pinnacle birch with a borer in them is when they were stressed, because I've had them six other plants in another person's yard 6 feet away, and they were more not drowning in water, and they were watered properly and fertilized and everything else, mulched, and they were 6 feet away, not a single bug on them, but everyone on the other side of the fence had bugs on them. Because they were stressed.
Okay, so if I plant this Parkland killer birch, and then maybe feed it with a drip line so that water goes directly to it, it'll not get.
Yep.
That should save it from the poplar.
Well, you're going to have to, because those poplars are going to still suck moisture and not let those plants grow, and you have to do some pruning on those poplar trees or the aspens you have to be able to make sure that you're not inhibiting the growth of the birch. Okay.
Okay. So if I were to plant this birch this fall, let's say.
Yeah, you might not find any this fall. It'll probably be next spring.
Okay. Yeah. Then what should I do to slowly get rid of these poplars? Can I still keep them as these other ones grow? Or do I need to just get rid of them because of that borer? Or?
Well, to me, I suggest that because you'd have to cut them back quite a ways and the borer will still be in them, and you're just making a nesting site for them to go after other trees in your area. Okay.
So not really helping out the neighbors.
Not helping the neighbors out, right?
So I'd be better just to completely remove them?
You're better off to completely remove them if they got the bore in them, because and once you cut the tree off, you're just going to stress the tree some more, okay?
Right.
And then you're just going to make it more susceptible for those borers to keep going after them.
I see.
So, I mean, what you can do is maybe, if you want, take every second one out for now, right?
Right.
And then next year, take out the other ones, you know, and then get planting next spring with some more in there, and then you got some more room to plant and more light for them to grow and not so much competition, you know, against the other trees. Because you can remember, once you start fertilizing and watering in those spots where your trees are, where your new trees are, those aspens are going to send roots into the area saying, oh, look at all this nutrients and moisture and everything else that which I need, which I wasn't getting before. And now I'm going to send roots into that area and try to choke out the birch.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So it's a tough one. But sometimes you just, it's a hard one when you get a bug like that in them. And you know what? It's always a hard one when you monoculture, when you put everything all the same plant. Because if you do get something, you lose everything. Right?
Okay.
So it may be even something you want to change gears altogether and, you know, put in a few parkland pillar birches, put in maybe some courageous flowering crabs, or put in some different types of plants along there that still stay a bit narrow, right? But don't get 30 feet tall. Some of them won't only get 20 feet tall, but that still gives you lots of wind shelter and everything else. And then change your gears, and then you don't have to worry about if a bug comes in, you don't lose everything again.
Right.
Right.
Would it be better to go to like a caragana or something if I was able to keep it like thin, essentially, so I, you know, not really wide?
Yeah.
Would I go to a bush instead or no?
The caraganas will be, as they get older, they keep falling branches down. They're a really messy tree for what you want.
Okay.
That's the only thing. And if you wanted to put a caragana in there, put one or two in there. Like I said, you don't have to make a whole row of something. Right?
Right.
And you could change, there's ones even called a prairie spire flowering crab, which grows narrow. Right? So you can put a mixture of different plants in there. So just do some research, see what that'll look like. You know, whether you like that. And, you know, with the parkland pillar birches, and you can put a guardian aspen back in, which is one that still gets the poplar borer, but won't get bronze leaf disease. So there's different plants you can put in there, and you can put a poplar back there, but don't make them all poplars again. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the tips.
Okay.
Thanks, Derek. Take care.
All right. You bet. Thanks. Bye.
1-877-332-8255 is the number to text, and we're going to get to that text line right now and get through a few of these. The lightning round coming up next block here as well, next segment. So this is Bob, who's in Saskatoon, says, we did Bob's already. I'm reading the one we already read. Look at that. Okay, let's go to this one. Devona from Moosomin, our town has nightcrawler worms that are migrating from yard to yard. They leave the lawn with, you know, lots of patchy grass. Is there an effective way to get rid of these worms?
It's tough now because all the insecticides are gone, right? That used to take care of that, Seven and all those kind of things. So the bottom line is that one of the better ways to do it, especially for your own lawn, is that starting next spring, get a bird bath.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
That kind of stuff. Put a bird bath in, anything to attract the robins to your yard. The robins will clean up a lot of those kind of things. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to make your yard so that the robins want to be around. And it has to be the right nesting areas. It might be little platforms underneath the deck or something like that, places where they can nest or they like to be sheltered. And then putting some water features or bird baths or something like that out to be able to attract those birds that it's amazing. You get a couple nests of robins around. Those guys, they want to feed their hungry young.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And they just keep going in the lawn. They're just constant. And so that's probably one of the better way to do it because there's no nematode, there's no nothing like that that goes after those night crawlers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so best thing to do is attract the predators for it. That's the best one, honestly, because the chemicals are gone.
Okay. All right. There you go. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to stop right there for the last segment coming up. The lightning round is next. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. 1-877-332-8255. It is the lightning round. We're going to get as many as we can answer as fast as we can on the lightning round. Karen Hepburn, we have watermelons about the size of ice cream pails.
Yep.
Wow.
Perfect.
How do I know when to harvest them? When to harvest them, Rick?
It's basically you, just like when you go to the store. You know, you kind of feel them. You kind of give them a little knock, and you what's that commercial? There's a commercial on there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It got to feel like somebody's home.
Not empty. Okay.
And so, but bottom line is that if you can leave them all, but you need to use crop covers right now, for the especially for the evenings. And I had a friend of mine that had 17-pound watermelons, and he used crop covers, and he started his watermelons inside back in, you know, in April, and then put them outside, and then used crop covers in the spring and used crop covers in the fall, and he got 17-pound watermelons. So that's critical. And so you can leave them for a bit yet, and then, but it's just like when you go to the store, just kind of give them a tap, and you'll kind of know. And if you got a bunch of them, you can always, you know, taste one of them, you'll see pretty quick, you know.
Is it good or has it got to wait?
Got to wait for a little longer.
Right.
Especially if you've got a bunch of them.
Okay, Martha's text, and Martha's in Martinsville. Good morning. How do I keep calla lily bulbs over winter? Can geraniums be kept over winter, and how is it done?
Yeah.
So start with calla lily bulbs.
Calla lily bulbs is a bulb. So what you do is you wait till the frost hits them, you know, and knocks them down.
Yep.
Or you can dig them up and you can hang them. Okay, just like you do an onion or something like that, and dry them out so that the energy goes back into the bulb again. And then you store them in a paper bag or a perforated plastic bag with some sort of a peat moss with just a hint of moisture with it.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then put them in a cool place, and then just monitor them monthly, so that soil, that peat moss around them doesn't go totally like bone dry, but it has to be just a hint, like I'll stress that, a hint, because if you have it too much moisture, they'll mold.
They'll rot, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, and then even if you get some bulb dust, put some bulb dust in with them and that, and then you can just, next April, you can plant them up again and away you go. And
in April. Okay.
In April.
Geraniums, how do we keep those in winter?
You can't let them get too hard of a frost, and then bring them in, have them in a pot, and then cut them back to about, probably 4 inches off the pot.
Yes.
Or so, 5 inches off the pot, and then put them in a just a cooler, less light. My mother-in-law used to put them in her basement window.
That's us. What we did when I was a kid,
right?
Too. Yeah.
In her basement window, that little tiny window you have in your basement. And you just put them in that window and just let them sort of water them very sparingly.
Yep.
It's like, there again, once a month type of thing.
Yep.
And then once you start getting to January, February, bring them up to the sun, start watering them, start getting growth on them. You can start to take slips off of them, mm-hmm, and produce more.
Okay, there you go. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to Brenda's text. Brenda's in Wapella. We're on a farm, and if I convert to a no-till garden with old straw bales, how do I prevent from becoming a rodent haven?
Yeah, that's what to watch for is obviously being a rodent area. So,
but that's with straw. Does mulch get the same issue?
So what I would do with the straw is I wouldn't put it down in the fall, because that's where they're going to come in and want to stay there,
right,
in the fall. So put it on in the spring if you're going to put it on, just, you know, right after you, plant your garden, mm-hmm, or whatever. And then it'll be less of a problem that way. And then just put lots of little boxes with, like I was telling before, like a shoe box, a box with some mouse traps in them, with some, you know, peanut butter and Crazy Raisin in them, and you just keep those under control that way.
Okay. Ryan's in Grasswood. I had early and fast leaf drop on some of the newly planted Okanese poplars. Trees were planted this past April, looked good all summer, but they were kept watered and you know, put on some good, yep, growth. We had our first hard frost a week ago. Most of the tree's leaves just dried up and dropped after the frost.
Yep.
They didn't change color. It's happened about 75% of the trees. 25% yep, less right now are changing color, dropping like, yep, normal.
Yep.
Anything to be concerned about?
No. I used to, because in my trees were on my container fields.
Yep.
They were green until basically it was, I always had to put my fall pre-emergent herbicides down before the 23rd of September, mm-hmm, because all my poplars would drop their leaves green yet, because there was so much moisture and so much nutrients from the, you know, the watering in the containers, leaching out a little bit of fertilizer, but also moisture. These would drop green. And that was around, like I said, around the same week every year.
Okay.
So if they drop them, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
And this is because you got to slow down the watering around the September long weekend. That's what you have to remember to do if you're keeping them really wet all summer.
Okay.
Try to slow down the watering to let them go naturally color rather than just green to dropping.
It's the lightning round. Linda's in Regina. I have a large elephant ear plant underneath, and the underneath part of it is all dead and dried up.
Yep.
The leaves on the top are still green.
Yep.
Can I cut it down right now for the winter? Will it come back in the spring?
You got to remember, Bergenia, it's probably a Bergenia they have. Okay. They basically will just clean up any of the brown ones that are totally dead. The rest of them leave there because there's the one plant that will stay green underneath the summer, underneath the winter time, and just start greening up and flowering next spring. So you don't need to cut the whole plant down. Just cut out any of the brown leaves and just do it. Just clean them up that way.
Okay. Maury's on the text line. So interested in the zero-till gardening approach to reduce the weeds.
Yep.
For mulching in the fall, can a person use the brown grass clippings on there?
Yeah, the brown clips you can use. The only thing I don't like doing is grass clippings. If you just use straight grass clippings, they tend to compact and they heat up, and then they get lots of molds and everything else. I like mixing my compost with sticks and everything else rather than just having just straight grass.
So the second part of Maury's call here is the concern on the zero till is that in our soil, he says, is usually gets hard over the summer and really clumpy. So if we get zero till, would it make sense to have a small narrow tiller just to do the rows just before seeding?
You can, but you'll notice if you go to zero till.
Yeah, with the mulch
and everything else, and you're going to be rotating your crop, you're moving your rows all the time, right? Still, mm-hmm. And you're going to find that soil won't be clumpy after a few years. It'll be a beautiful soil underneath there.
So it'll rejuvenate itself that way.
Absolutely.
So it's a concern, but it'll go away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Femi is in Saskatoon. I noticed a lot of weeds in my lawn. What can I use? When's the best time to get rid of the weeds? Lawn is well maintained, but the weeds not making it look very good.
Okay. The weeds, you might want to think about, and it's you could still do it right now, but it's getting late, is top dressing with overseeding with grass seed. Get your lawn even thicker. Okay. It'll out-compete your weeds. Otherwise, you can use a Weed Be Gone or, some weed herbicide right now. Right now, the weeds are taking the sugars down to the root system.
For next year.
So they will take the chemical down and get rid of them that way. Or you can pull the weeds, whatever you want to do.
I still like Kill-X.
Yeah.
Still works good for me.
And Weed Be Gone is an iron product rather than 2,4-D. There's all different types of alternatives. And so you can either one or, but honestly, overseeding, getting your lawn thicker, it'll outcompete most of the weeds.
Okay, we got to run. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.